Preparation. Everything that David had gone through had prepared him for this moment. Nothing that he suffered was wasted. He had gone through a lot to get to where he is at this moment. He's the eighth son of Jesse. He is very much disliked in the family, black sheep of the family. His brothers even derailed him even when he was bringing them lunch. Sometimes, no matter what you do to help people, they still got an attitude. Here I am, got off my job, ran down here to bring you lunch, and you still got an attitude talking about me, calling me a vile fellow, when in fact, I'm trying to help you. Sometimes the people who you are trying to help hurt you the worst. He had to go through that. He had to fight lions and bears to protect sheep, altercations that could have killed him to get to this moment. But all of that was preparation for this moment, because it was with dealing with the bear and the lion that gave him the skill set to kill the giant. So a lot of times you ask God to save you from something that he's training you with. I'm talking about preparation. There are tests that have come into his life and trials that have come into his life. It would be very painful for a son, for his father to forget him. But David's father had forgotten him. So that when they came to anoint somebody to be king, he left him out there in the field. Some theologians suggest that he left him out there in the field because he didn't really think David was his. Some theologians say that when he says, in sin was I born and in iniquity did God shape me, is because there was some questionableness about the authenticity of his birth. Now, I don't believe that because it's very important that he be Jesse's son because it leans itself to the lineage of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter what the truth is if you don't think of me that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody, maybe about two or three people in this room, know what it is to be raised in an environment where you were not highly thought of. It changes the trajectory of your life, but it also can be the catalyst that makes you succeed because you got something to prove. There are the tests behind him that brought him to this moment. Every one of those tests were steps of a good man ordered by the Lord to bring him down to Goliath. Goliath was the usher that opened up the door to the palace. Goliath was a great thing. You cannot get to your kingdom till you find your giant. Goliath exposed him. Goliath gave him attention. Saul wouldn't have paid David no attention. He's the son of a pauper. He's a shepherd boy. What does the king have to do with a shepherd boy? Goliath gave David a platform to show what his trials had taught him. Thank you, Goliath. Thank you for roaring at me. Thank you for coming at me with your shields and your swords and trying to destroy me because you put my talents on display. I have no bitterness in my heart against my Goliaths because they made me who I am. There was a woman in Charleston that wrote for the Charleston Gazette, wrote the first mean article that had ever been written about me. If I ever meet her, in case you're listening right now, can I take you out to dinner? I would love, I'm serious, I'm not mad. I would take you out to dinner. God really used you. I doubt that I would be standing here in Dallas today if you had not attacked me like you attacked me. I hold no ill will against you. You became a Goliath that gave me a platform that created a stage for me. I am so grateful to you. I am so thankful to you. I am so happy for you. I wasn't happy at the time. I was angry at the time. That's why you can't trust your emotions. Today, I am great. It was good for me that I was afflicted. You made me understand in that attack that I didn't fit. That was a good thing because I was determined to fit into a place that I was not supposed to be. And your attack of me announced to me that they weren't wrong. I was wrong. I was the right thing in the wrong place. And you shifted me. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, I love you so. I hope you're doing well because I am. There are the tests behind him, and there are the tests before him. Do not think that because you come to a pivot point that you are through with tests. The tests that push you to the pivot point only bring you to the pivot point that you graduate to another level of tests. The reward for overcoming this test is the right to fight on the next level. Look at the preparation that has gone into making David who he was. Had his brothers embraced him, he would have stayed. Had his father accepted him, he wouldn't have moved into Saul's house. Perhaps Saul's invitation to invite him into the house was alluring to David because David longed for a father's voice. Perhaps David would not have been willing to move into the palace for the sake of the drapes and the pillars, but at the voice of a senior statesman, yes, sir, he moved into the house. And from that day forward, he went no longer back home. This is a pivoting moment. Anytime, what is that movie, baby, that, anytime you have a moment where you call everybody and say, I won't come back home no more. Yeah, you got me. That's enough. The rest of y'all don't need it. Anyway, that's a pivoting moment. Della Reese was in the movie. I know that. Yeah. David called home and said, I won't be back. You can't believe I said that. I know. Pray for me. You're not praying hard enough. I won't be back no more. Can you imagine David calling home telling Jesse, I'm out of here, I'm gone, I won't be back? Look at it. It's funny, but look at it. Look at how open David's heart is to the love of a father. And God knows exactly what to do to get you to pivot. And so David pivots and moves into the house. And Saul was the bait. Saul was the bait, but Jonathan was the hook. Because in the moment that he reached after Saul, he met Jonathan. And when he met Jonathan, it was sometimes you do a thing, and the thing is not the thing that you thought it was going to be, but it's the thing that leads to the thing. So don't be so busy being depressed about the thing that didn't work, because the thing that didn't work led you to the thing that did work, so that you can have an encounter with God. Are y'all with me? Everything that he has gone through has prepared him for this moment. That's why you don't despise anything that happened to you, anything that you went through, no matter how tough, no matter how difficult, it's taking you somewhere. If you got that, I could sit down. If you got that the very thing that you grieved about, worried about, feel sorry for yourself about, say, why me, Lord? If you understood that that is a conveyor belt that is ushering you into your destiny, that these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I can remember what I can remember, but I can't see what I can't see because it's going to be. But everything that I went through ushered me into everything that I'm about to do right now, and it gave me the grace to pivot because I am loyal to a fault. I would have stayed in that house. I would have stayed trying to convince them that I was a good person. I would have stayed running up and down the hills bringing them lunch. I would have stayed in the desert writing poetry, singing song, taking care of sheep and shoveling sheep dung because I'm loyal. So God had to send something strong to make me shift. I want to talk to my loyal people in the house. Loyal people get hurt because loyal people expect loyalty. And when you sow loyalty and you don't reap loyalty, it will shatter you emotionally, April, because you say, I don't deserve this. And you're right, but God is using something you don't deserve to bring you into something that you do deserve. Oh, come on, somebody. Everybody who's ever had their heart broke, been disappointed, cried themselves to sleep, sat up all night worrying about yourself, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, walking around in the house by yourself looking dumb, holler, I'm in preparation. Everybody who had to fight stuff that was bigger than you, things that scared you to death, and you didn't have the kinds of weapons to be in the fight you were in, shout, I'm in preparation. Everybody who's ever been hated on, people been jealous of you while you were just struggling to make it through the best way you could, shout, I'm in preparation. You might not even know what you're in preparation for, but you know God, and you ought to get happy because God is preparing you. He's taking you somewhere. He's got something greater for you. And the greater the preparation, the greater the promise. The greater the preparation, the greater the prophecy. The greater the preparation, the more God is going to use you. I'm so glad I was afflicted. If I had not been afflicted, I couldn't stand what I go through now. But God was preparing me, turning up the heat. So what you call putting heat on me is my normal. I eat that stuff for breakfast because of what I've been through. Who am I talking to in this house? Yeah. Touch three people and say preparation, preparation. It's preparation. The trial is preparation. The test is preparation. The adversity is preparation. The crying is preparation. The divorce is preparation. The loneliness is preparation. It's preparation. It's preparation. You wouldn't have discovered that you were that tough if you hadn't gone through preparation. You didn't even know you had that talent. You didn't even know how to handle things by yourself. You learned because God put you in a state of preparation. I need 30 seconds of praise for people who are praising God for preparation. Now, let's go on. Number two is perspective. He has come into this new environment. He is coming to a new environment. Now, this is going to hit some other group of people. You come into this new environment where your gift has brought you into a room that has not, that you do not have what you need to be where you are. So picture with me, he's sweaty, he smells. He's got sheep hair on him and dung on his shoes. He's been fighting a giant and he hasn't been home for a bath.
Yes, sir.
And now they've brought him into a palace.
Painted.
He's walking around on granite floors and marble columns and cascading drapes that puddle in the floor. He's sitting in a situation where women are carrying water on their shoulders to pour bath water for the king. He's sitting in an environment, a palatial environment, where culinary skill artists are preparing exquisite cuisine for the royal family. And yesterday, he was out there with nobody around him but sheep. I'm telling you, God can put you in a room so fast that you don't have time to get your hair done. You don't have time to get your nails done. You don't have time to read a book on protocol. You're just standing up in the palace bowing at the service. You don't know who to bow at. You don't know what name to call them. God's getting ready to shift somebody so quickly. And if anybody walked into the palace and David was there, he appeared out of place. Watch this. You got to be willing to appear. See, a lot of y'all can't do that because if you don't get accepted, they was acting funny when I came there and they were looking at me like they were so much and I left, I quit, I resigned, I was stupid. You're resigning from your own destiny. You're resigning from your own purpose. You're resigning from what God called you to do. And you're going to be out of place for a while. It's okay. I know you smell right now. I know you don't have the right clothes right now. I know you don't have the degrees they have. But if God invited you into the room, walk up. Walk up in that room. Walk right up in that room. Say, good morning. Somebody say, good morning.